ask yourself what it would have been like to be back in Bible times, maybe to have been there when Goliath stood in the valley. And I suppose somebody that's not thinking clearly might say, oh, I'd have gone and fought the giant. Or what if you'd have lived in the days that led up to the captivity and all the people were idolatrous and you'd say, oh, I wouldn't have worshipped those idols. Or, you know, in Daniel's day, maybe, oh, yeah, I'd have stood up and told the king, no, I'm not gonna bow down to you. And it's interesting. There are all those good examples in the Bible of what people did when times were difficult. And that's one of my favorite age-old trite sayings is, you know, you can tell a Christian. The saying goes like this: a Christian is like a tea bag. His true color comes out when you put him in hot water. And in the times in the Bible where faith was needed was when it was difficult, was when it was not going well, was when people weren't faithful and when there were trials and there were obstacles, right? And that's what we have here in Esther chapter 4. The key phrase that I look at in this passage is if I can find the verse here, in verse 14, where Mordecai asks Esther, he says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God didn't put you and I there on the mountain when David had to fight Goliath, and he didn't put us there when Daniel had to tell the king he wasn't going to stop praying, or when they wouldn't bow down to the king, or he didn't put us there when Israel was idolatrous and there were very, very few people that weren't worshiping Baal and so on. He put us here, right now. You think God knows what he's doing? So, you know, you say, well, if I'd have been Esther, here's what I would have done. Well, we don't have to be Esther and do what she would have done. We've got what we got to deal with, and we got to do what we were going to do today. We got to do what ought to be done now. And, you know, you look at the situation here. We talked about what kind of a time is it for such a time as this. And last week we mentioned it's a time of dejection. It's a time of destruction. It's a time of, you could use a lot of D words, disaster or difficulty or distress. Or it's a time when the decision has been made. There's a decree, it's mentioned in verse 8, the decree was given in Shushan to destroy them. And they knew the decree, and they knew what was coming, and they knew it wasn't going to be very long. In fact, these fellows had chosen a day when they were going to destroy all the Jews. And but we have a decree in the Bible, don't we? Amen? Now, there's two or three ways of looking at that. Here's one of the ways to look at it. There's a decree in the Bible that says that the wages of sin is death. And we know what's going to happen to folks that aren't saved. You can apply this message to soul winning very, very easily. Because there's a question. The question is she going to hold her peace? That's in verse 14. Or is she going to speak out? And there's a danger if she speaks out. Because, and I'll read it here in just a second, but in verse 9 or verse 8, it mentions if you go to the king and the king hasn't called you, then unless he raises the scepter, it's your life. So you better have an important reason to go see the king. And she has not been summoned. And so she knows that when she steps in, there's risk. Sir? Yep. So let's stand up for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read the story to you. And we'll take a look at the other half of this time such as this. It's a time for decision and a time for declaration. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 4, Mordecai perceived all that was done. He rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. We looked at that passage last week. And he came before the king's gate, for none entered the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in verse 3, or verse 4, Esther's maids came and told her, and the queen was exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth, but he received it not. Now, tonight we'll begin looking at a little more detail in verse 5. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we are able to assemble here and that we are freely opening the Word of God and hearing it. And now I pray your Spirit would speak to each one here. Lord, we do pray for folks that have not come out tonight, that you would make them aware of the importance of prayer meetings, and you would increase our numbers on Wednesdays and Sundays. And I do pray tonight for folks that can't be here, that you'd care for them and protect them. But for our time together now, I just pray that we'd remember the Holy Spirit meets with us and the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, and it's a time to open the Bible and see what you have to say to us tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Talking to somebody recently, and a young person in their 20s, and this individual was telling how he had learned how to make and save and invest, and he was really happy with his financial situation, and he had houses, and he was doing well for himself, and that was kind of exciting to him. And in his 20s, to have learned that lesson, it's a good lesson to learn. But mentioned to him, I said, you know, once you get past that, now the question is, what are you here for? Did God just put you on the earth? Did he just send Jesus to die for you so you could make money? There's got to be more purpose to life than making money, doesn't there? In fact, the Bible says silver and gold don't satisfy. You're not going to ever be satisfied just by making money. It's nice to have a purpose. And Esther, in this particular passage, would you agree with me? She has a purpose. And that's the whole question. He says at verse 14, he says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" It's almost humorous to think about it. Of course she's in the kingdom for such a time as this. And now she can see exactly what it is that she needs to do. I think one thing you and I ought to pray is, "Lord, show me what you want me to do." Amen? Are we just here? Isn't there something that God would have us to do? Now, if you start thinking about that and you read your Bible a little bit, you start to understand something. There are some people that are a lot like those folks Esther needed to help. She was in a situation where the Jews were going to be destroyed. We are in a situation where the lost are going to be destroyed. They are. If they do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if they do not turn to Him and ask Him to save them, they're going to die and go to hell. The decree is written. And you and I know that better than anybody. And I might ask you the question, if you want a purpose for your life, wouldn't that be a good one? Amen? Now, I think there's more detail to it than that. I can just, you know, we can be generic or general in speaking, and we can say, okay, we know there's a lot of lost folks out there. Let's get the gospel to them. That is definitely what God's called us to do. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he's got specific plans for us too, doesn't he? Do you know what, are you looking for, and perhaps have you found what it is God has specifically for you to do? That's going to make a difference. It's going to save some souls. It's going to deliver some people from certain destruction. How's God going to make us useful to him? And what does he have for us to do? And would you agree with me that I think it's foolish for someone to say, well, God doesn't want to do anything with me. He'll use somebody else. Doesn't God want to use everybody? I think so. Esther, it's easy in this case. We can see, we've already been looking at it in the first three chapters, and now here we are in chapter four. You could see her coming into the situation where she needed to be. You could see the enemy coming into the situation to where deliverance was needed. And now it all comes to the forefront in chapter four, and we can see just why she's there, just what she needs to do, just what the danger is, just what's going to happen if she doesn't say anything. I would pray once again, Lord, for each of us, show us just what you want us to do. Amen? And I think he's got some things for us to do day by day. And such a time as this, God put us in this time. God put us in this place. God gave us a situation. Now the question is, what should we do? Now, a couple of general thoughts on that. I can't tell you specifically who it is God wants to send you to. Maybe there's somebody here, a young person perhaps, and God wants to send them to, oh, I don't know, pick a country, Argentina or Brazil. Or let's try another one here. How about Germany or how about even a Soviet nation or how about South Korea? I don't know. Very rarely do you hear missionaries going to South Korea, hardly at all. And there are some churches over there. In fact, there are some good military churches over there. And but anyway, God's got something for us. So Esther's situation, we'll look at real quickly here. There's two things that she needs to do. And we've already talked about the time. It's a time of dejection, a time when there's a doom, a destruction coming. And now, in verse 8, it's a time for her to make a decision. She's got this copy that, he gave this copy to show to her, this decree, to show unto Esther in verse 8, to declare to her, to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. That's what she needs to do. And is it risk-free? No. It's a life or death situation. You and I probably face few of those in a literal sense. I can't ever remember any time in my life to where I thought I might die if I told somebody about the Lord. I know some people have died for their faith, and we know what a martyr is and so on, but I have not experienced that. But there's a different kind of life and death situation you might consider, and that is, didn't God give us all one life? And what does that life consist of? It consists of time. It consists of some strength. It consists of some health, and it consists of some resources, you know, ability, intelligence. We had a really good message in chapel on Tuesday, just what the doctor ordered, and it was about pride. And just remembering that, you know, if you can do anything, it's because God made you that way. The ability you've got, whatever it is, fits right into this here. Everything that Esther has, the fact that she's in the situation, right place, right time, right person, all the details, that's because God put that together. And so now it's a time for her to make a decision. What is she going to do with her life? And it's a quick thing here. She's going to have to decide, am I going to go into the king? I might die. But for you and I, it might be a different decision. It might be, am I going to keep my life for myself? or am I going to give my life to the Lord? What would it mean to give your life to the Lord as a young person? I'm so glad I'm in my 60s, aren't you, Brother Mendez? I haven't got to make some of those decisions anymore. Made those decisions a long time ago. Back when God got a hold of my heart in my 20s and when we started being faithful to serve God in our 30s, and then from that point on, just did things the Lord told us to do. And now when you're in your 60s, you can look back and you can say, I'm glad I used my life for God. It's not over, though. Right. Who knows? You might live to be 100, Brother Gonzalez. Wow. How old are you? You're not even halfway there yet, see? In the first 15 years, you wasted anyway, so you're not even a third of the way there. Sometimes we think, oh, I've served God, and now I'm in my 60s, it's time to stop and take it easy. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. I've told Mr. Mendez and I have discussed this, and I had a pastor that was pretty adamant about this. He said, I don't see retirement in the Bible. See, Daniel was 90 when they threw him in the lion's den, there's we can figure. Anyway, we have a life. We have a life and death decision to make. Am I going to keep my life for me, or am I going to give my life to God? Some young person might say, that would be terrible. Then I couldn't do what I want to do. But you're missing something. Do you remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? She was doing what she wanted to do, wasn't she? And was she happy? Was she satisfied? No. You see, that's the catch. You say, if I did what I wanted to do, then I'd be satisfied. And I have bad news for you. That's not the truth. But if you will let God have your life, you can have satisfaction. Because when you go home tonight and you lay down and you think, you know what? I gave my life to the Lord and I'm glad He used it. Now it's got some value. I didn't just make money and have some enjoyment and have some pleasure, but I did something that made a difference. You see, that's Esther's choice right here, if you think about it. She's the queen. She has got anything anybody could ever want. The riches of the kingdom are at her disposal. And comfortable, provided for. I'm sure she ate pretty much whatever she wanted to, whenever she wanted to. And I'm sure that she was not ever too hot or ever too cold and had plenty of people to take care of her and all the riches that came with being in that position. And now she's got to make a decision. Am I going to do what God can use, or am I just going to take care of myself? That's really her decision, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this, and don't answer out loud, just think about it. Who's in control of the outcome? In whose hands is the outcome? In other words, when she goes and does what God asks or what she's being asked to do, when she does what is necessary to deliver these people, who's going to control whether she dies or not? You say, oh, the king. Not really. The truth of the matter is, God's in control, isn't He? See, that's another deceiving thing, young people. You think, if I did what I wanted to do, I just want to get married and I want to have whatever. And if I could just have what I want, I'd be so happy. It doesn't always work out that way. But I can tell you this, God is in control. And when you do what God asks you to do, He can give you a better outcome. He can take better care of you than you can take care of you. Would you agree, Mr. Mendez? He can take better care of you. He can give you more satisfaction than you can give you satisfaction. He can give you more contentment than you can give you contentment. He can give you more provision than you can give you provision. And if you see what Mordecai says to her at the end of the chapter, he says in verse 14, and this is very point blank. I mean, he is very direct about this. He says in verse 14, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, in other words, if you don't do what you know you ought to do, if you don't do what's right, if you don't go into the king and risk your life not there, but it's the same difference. He says, you think, if you just hold your peace and you think that's going to be okay, he says, two things, this is interesting. Then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, I got good news for you. God's going to get His work done. Now, you might say to yourself, oh, okay, good, then I haven't got to worry about it. You missed the whole point. The question is not, does God need you to get the job done? The question is, do you need God to have a good life? That's the question. In other words, he says, I can assure you, this fellow must have read his Bible. He knows that the Messiah is coming. And he knows he's coming from the nation of Israel. The Jews are not going to be destroyed. It's sort of like when Paul was on the ship and Paul said, God appeared to me and I'm not going to die. And if you stay on the ship with me, you won't die either. No, he knew that God was going to get the work done. The question wasn't whether or not God would get the work done. The question was, what's going to happen to Esther? And he says, if you hold your peace, deliverance will arise from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. In other words, you think by protecting yourself, you're going to make things better. You think by not taking a chance, by not, you know, going out and doing what you know you ought to do, by not serving God or by not giving your life to God or by not going into the situation that God's put you in and being used by Him, you think that by not doing that, you're going to take care of yourself. No, it's just the opposite. What did Jesus say? Sums it up so well. He says, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. But he said, if you lose your life for His sake, you're going to find it. You see that? It's right there. So, young person, older person, the question is, we have to make a decision. What will we do? And the devil's got a lot of good advertising out there. I don't know why I read so much news. I guess just something to do sometimes, but I'll lay and read the news before I go to sleep sometimes. The government was complaining that the press isn't doing a good enough job of selling the president's agenda. Yeah, let me tell you what the president's agenda is. Is to borrow about, well, here's what the president's agenda is. The president wants to give a whole lot of money to a whole lot of people and let young people pay for it in 30 years. I don't know if the young people even understand that they're already approximately $100,000 apiece in debt. In other words, our nation, the numbers are figure near there, about $100,000 per person. Okay, so Bronson, you owe $100,000. Somehow or another, you're going to have to pay that. They're not too worried about that. They want you to borrow $30,000 more. Every single human being in our nation, well, that's not true because the immigrants haven't got to worry about that. But anyway, they want a lot of folks to borrow a whole lot of money, and then they're going to give it to some people. Why do they want to do that? To push the problem down the road. To push the problem down the road. And you hear these kind of things, and you see what the government's doing. It's discouraging. But the fuss was that they believe that the press is not promoting this idea well enough. I thought the press was doing a pretty good job of supporting the liberal agenda. I don't know. But I don't know what got me on that tangent so much. What comes back to is this. The devil's trying the same thing. He's trying to convince you, young and I, young people and older people, that there are things in the world that are more pleasant, more satisfying, more rewarding than giving your life to God. And the devil's a liar. Now, we're here in this age, in this day. Esther's back here, and in her day, God put her in that situation. God gave her that decision, and she's got to decide, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to put my life in the king's hands, which is really putting it in God's hands? Or am I going to keep it for myself? That's such a time as this, isn't it? Every young person. I don't know. That's such a deep, deep concept. I'm not sure young people can get their hands around that. You and I have lived a little longer. We can see it because we've already been through that. But a young person in their early teens especially, or mid-teens, and the devil's probably got them bought into some of his ideas, and they're thinking, well, surely, it would be terrible to be a full-time Christian worker, to be a missionary, to be a pastor. You wouldn't get to have any fun at all. I just want to point something out to you. A lot of the things that you think are fun aren't all that much fun. And a lot of the things that you don't think are a lot of fun are some of the best times you'll ever have. Brother Dahlman and I were driving down the road last night, and we came across a couple of pretty good-sized speed bumps. And he was talking about the speed bumps, and I said, "Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. You should be in Mexico." I was driving Brother Mendez's car down the highway. Oh, we were doing decent speed. What do you figure, 55 or 60? Yeah. And all of a sudden, topes, right? Ay, ay, ay. And I don't read that much Spanish. I know what a topes meant, but I didn't see the sign. And I don't know if we left the ground or not, but it felt like we did. I felt bad. I should never drive again. Mr. Mendez, you can drive from now on. And that was on a missions trip. We had a good time. Some of the best times I've ever had. I can still close my eyes, and I'm standing outside a little church in Alamos eating pozole. And there's no pavement. The ground is dirt, and the little kids are running around having a good time, and the Christian older people are standing around talking, and we're all saved, and we just finished a day at church, and after the pozole, we're going to go have hot dogs. That's as good as it gets. You don't understand, when you give your life to God, you do not lose your life, you find it. You see, that's the lesson here. Such a time as this. It's time to make a decision. What am I going to do? Now, is it always easy? Oh, no. Is it ever dangerous? Oh, yeah. Is there any risk? Oh, you bet. But not really. What's the worst that can happen? To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Not anticipating that, but that's as bad as it gets. Like the martyr said, you can't threaten me with heaven. So, there it is. That's the time. What's she going to do? We're going to find out next week. What are we going to do? Young person, what are you going to do? Older person, what are you going to do? I think back to where I was earlier, just mention a couple of things and we'll finish, and that is, my prayer would be, Lord, show me the situation clearly so that you can show me what I need to do. Amen? Even older folks need that. I mean, you know, faithfulness is a big part of it. We're day by day, we've got our work cut out for us, and we've got the school, and we've got the church, and those kind of things, and that's nice. But there's got to be somewhere this week, perhaps, certainly in the next few weeks, where if we would be willing to make that decision to speak out and to let God use us, we could deliver somebody from destruction. A little over a month away, and Joe Mark's going to be here. And I'll speak openly. I pray that we have a bigger crowd than we have tonight. I pray that we have some lost people here. I pray that we have some people here that get saved every night. But if just one person got saved, that'd be great. What if 10 got saved? Wouldn't that be great? It's not going to happen unless we speak out. We cannot hold our peace. We cannot keep our life for ourselves. We're going to have to serve God to see that kind of thing happen. And that's what's interesting about this. You see, you look at the situation and you think, well, oh no, what if Esther doesn't do what she's supposed to do? Then the Jews will be destroyed. No. Mordecai makes it real clear. The Jews aren't the issue. She's the issue. You see, and don't misunderstand me. You need to tell the lost. But the fact is, you and I are the issue. What's going to happen to us? If we keep our life, we're going to lose it. If we lose it for the Lord's sake, we're going to find it. And you'll never see that quite clearly as well as you will when you step into eternity and look back over your life. And then you'll realize, when you look back over your life, oh, I'm glad I used what I did for God. I don't know if I told you this, probably I used this as an old trite illustration, but there's a story about the fellow that was riding along, and he was riding on a horse out in the country in the old days, and he came across a leprechaun, and the leprechaun said, pick up a handful of that gravel and put it in your pocket, and when you get to your destination, you're going to be glad and you're going to be sad. And the fellow thought, oh, what have I got to lose? And he reached down in the river and got a handful of gravel and put it in his pocket and got back on his horse and rode to his destination. And he reached in his pocket and it all came out of his pocket as precious jewels, rubies and emeralds and diamonds. And he was glad he had reached down and picked some of that up and put it in his pocket. He was sad he hadn't picked up some more. What are you going to do with your life? What we do for God is going to last. Amen? You're going to be glad for what you did. You're going to wish you'd have done some more. Let's all stand and pray.